Blog Talk Radio. As of the 1st of October 2019, in South Australia, a new law was passed that allows a public servant to enter, remain, inspect, or use reasonable force to break into any premise, place, vehicle or vessel. This public servant can remove items from the premises to be used as evidence in future, and a warrant is not required if there is a suspicion, just a suspicion, that a vulnerable adult is at risk of abuse. Matters will then be directed to a court or tribunal that is not bound by the rules of evidence, can determine matters as it thinks fit, and can reach an outcome, just, on the balance of probabilities, not beyond reasonable doubt. Victims often end up a ward of state. The public guardian and public trustee are often placed as the ultimate decision maker and take over all affairs. These laws are expected to be rolled out in other states next year. Are you scared yet?
Good evening, everyone. This is Marty Oakley of the PPJ Gazette Online, and this is the TS Radio Network. Our show tonight is Australia Talks Back. And as all of you know, and everybody's sitting on pins and needles, and some of you chewing your nails and shaking like a leaf, we have what they are calling a pandemic, which, quite honestly, the numbers don't come anywhere near a pandemic or even an epidemic. But as long as you're scared, that's all that matters. Now, we've all had colds. We've had, many of us had bronchitis. We've had pneumonia. And we walked away just fine. And but apparently this virus, which is obviously a bioweapon, has been mutated. It's been spliced in many cases with the HIV virus and some other little nasty things. And supposedly it's showing up in places, just mysteriously showing up. Yes, okay. I don't know about all of you. But I refuse to panic. What I am worried about, and we'll be discussing this evening, one aspect of this is where country after country, including here in the U.S., is now talking about prioritizing who's going to get care. Now, all of you know that listen to these shows, our main thrust is guardianship. And one of the things we have seen kicked into high gear over the last 10 years has been what's called hospice here in the U.S., quality aged care in Australia. But what it is that expediting of people, of elderly people, jettisoning them out of here. Once their estates are robbed, they're gone. And apparently this just wasn't moving fast enough. So now we have this faked up pandemic, epidemic, gosh, you got a cold, blow your nose, ramped up, and now they're talking about prioritizing. And they state specifically that we need to look at who it is it worth giving you medical care. Is it worth it? Excuse me. And would, if they give you medical care, is it worth it? Will you be able to recover and you know, have a longer life and everything else? Or should they give that care to younger people who have a future? Because obviously you don't. This, I'm going to tell you, this has upset me to no end. And I called a couple of churches today to find out what their position was on this, and nobody would say a word. And I'm always amazed with these fools. They're pro-life, pro-life, pro-life. Oh, they're pro-life. Well, why won't you help these elderly people if you're pro-life? They're killing them left and right. And now you're going to see a mass culling of the elderly because, I say, many countries have determined that it'd just be a waste of resources to try and take care of you know, the elderly people in this. They don't have a life worth living anyway. And understand that these are total strangers to that individual that are going to be making these decisions. Now, I don't know how bad this has to get before you stand up and pay attention, but what you are seeing is a global culling. Like, say, hospice, quality aged care, whatever kind of organization you had in your country that supposedly gave end-of-life care, which basically created the end-of-life, they're all doing this. But apparently wasn't going quite fast enough. Now, the other thing at work here is the banking. And I've been watching this for several months. The Federal Reserve here has been dumping trillions now, $3 trillion, into the banking system, into these major banks, to keep them solvent. When you saw that stock market fly up, that was the banks taking that repo loan money and buying their stock back so people didn't figure out it was worthless. And then, of course, when they spent the loan money, the next day the stock dove back down, the markets went back down again. What they're also, we're seeing a lot of, is calls to end the use of cash. This is something they have been desperate to do for many years, is end cash. They want everybody chipped. This is ID 2020 here in the States. They want everybody chipped, and you won't be able to buy or sell anything unless you have that chip. And I can hear all of you out there now, oh, it's in the end times, and the book of Revelation said, understand that the government is very aware that you believe all of this and that you recite it over and over again every time things go wrong. So they create conditions and situations and events to mimic what you already believe. And then you think God is on his way back riding a white horse, swinging a hammer, and he's going to take out the bad guys. But this has been carefully orchestrated to mimic what you already believe. And that way you'll be more susceptible to complying, because after all, it was in the Bible. Please put that book down and get some sense, please. We are under attack here by our own governments, and you can't look at it any other way. We are under attack by our own governments, and all these years we've heard about this thing about the New World Order, and people said, oh, it's a conspiracy theory, it's a conspiracy theory. Well, knock, knock, Puddinhead. We're sitting right on the edge of it, because when this is over, none of our countries are going to be what they were before it started. None of us are going to be living the life we were living in 2019. None of us are going to have any rights whatsoever. Now, you think about that while you sit there and shake and cry and carry on about, oh, it's terrible, and God said, Anyway, those are my thoughts on things, and you think whatever you want to. I'm good with it. Our guest tonight, our first guest, is our friend from Australia. And Chris, welcome to the show.
Good evening. Good evening, Marty, and good morning, Australia. I think we're in some interesting times, are we not?
Yeah. Yes.
I think one of the first things, and I agree with you, Marty, I think one of the first things that we really need to make sure that this is not a conspiracy. This is a fact. This is happening now. Borders are shutting down worldwide. People cannot leave their homes in some cases. They cannot fly out. We have now in Australia, we cannot for 6 months fly out of Australia unless it's absolutely necessary. Airlines have been bailed in by the government because clearly their business has just died. And we have now state by state in Australia in lockdown. I don't think anyone who's listening today in Australia would believe this is happening. You know, the land of Mad Max has come here, but there's no Tina Turner singing out. We don't need another hero. We're in trouble.
Yeah.
And people need to realise and really need to Google the word democide. Democide is when your governments turn on you, and it is the biggest killer. It's bigger than cancer. It's bigger than anything else. And governments don't have to shoot you. Governments don't have to do anything of that effect. What they can do is they can starve you. They can make you unemployable. They can redirect spending. They can destroy your businesses. And that's what we're seeing today in Australia and worldwide, it would appear. What we're seeing, Marty, is, and, you know, I'm, as you know, an economist and an accountant by trade, so I've been watching for the last year, 2 years, quite interestingly, how the capital markets have been working. And, you know, we're in an economic war. This is, a,
yes.
And what they've done is they've implemented capital controls. And people, and a lot of people think, what is she talking about? Well, capital, you are capital. Human, you know, a human being is capital.
Yes.
Your assets are capital. Now, governments look at the way you spend, what you're doing, and they have to control it. And they control it so there's not a, an Armageddon, an economic Armageddon. And that's what they're doing. Wherever this has come from the top, and this would have been, this is not an accident, this is planned, this is meetings, this is all-nighters sitting there discussing how do we control this. They've realised, you know what, we need to shut the borders. People will run, people will hide, people will take out money. We need to control this. And the first thing they did was bring in these, what we call capital controls. Now, this has been happening. If you look at the events for the past, what, I'd say a year or two, we've had Hong Kong protests. Well, they've been shut down, haven't they? We've had the Yellow Vest group in France every weekend, you know, and the media have not been deliberately reporting that. That's a fact. This is not a conspiracy theory. These are facts. We've had corruption inquiries worldwide. We've had people hanging themselves as cameras were switched off, Marty. Surprise, surprise. We've had Prince Andrew being caught with his pants down, literally. We've had Epstein, pedophile rings being exposed. In Australia, we've had corruption commissions. We've had the Banking Royal Commission expose massive fraud on average farmers, on average businesses. Nothing done. They've had their speak and carry on as usual. We've had now the Aged Care Royal Commission, a royal commission into hospice that refuses to publish our submission, happy to publish all the government submissions, our submission, which was based on facts, which was based on people being forcibly institutionalized, names being listed. They don't want the public to know that. That's too distressing. Okay, for the public to have that information. The fact that people can be entrapped, that they can go into hospital and a social worker can just call you or the family or that person, unduly influenced or a victim or, you know, subjected to abuse based on no evidence whatsoever, and people thrown into a fake trial, into a tribunal. Well, that we can't tell the public that. That's just too way out there, even though we have three decades of evidence to back up every one of our allegations. Okay,
right.
So we won't have that. We can't print that to the public. So you're watching over the last year all of these royal commissions coming out, and the interesting one in the last royal commission was the one in disability, how death certificates are being falsified. And what I mean by falsified, people are being killed in other ways, perhaps, you know, denied nutrition, denied fluids.
Right.
But on the death certificate, old age or sepsis or Down syndrome or, you know, Alzheimer's. Not the fact that they were starved to death. No, we won't put that on the death certificate. And that's exactly what they did in the 1940s when they were killing all the dissidents and all the gypsies and all the Jews. The death certificate said old age. So we're back to that era. But interestingly, what we're seeing is all these corruption inquiries, they've come to a sudden halt, haven't they? All these investigations, all of it now, fear, we have a virus that's about to kill us. It's like something out of a Spielberg movie, really.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, War of the Worlds. So you had the guardianship system was, you know, now being awakened to the masses as well. Well, that's gone quiet, and that's okay. Let it sit back for a while, and we'll let that do that. We'll let that go. We'll rev it up again. you know, it's the old Kenny Rogers song, you know, poor Kenny Rogers, he passed away. You know, you've got to know when to fold them, know when to walk away, and know when to run. So we'll play that game as well. That's okay. But the most interesting thing that we've been watching as a group has been the smart money, okay? Forget the people and the hysteria. You've got the smart money, okay, and the capital markets and how they've been moving. And in Australia, we've been watching fraud after fraud. We've seen money, billions of dollars, being sent off to the Cayman Islands and to all these other, you know, secretive tax havens. And the media have been doing their offshore money. And you've seen $80 million in Watergate, and you've seen $440 million go to the Great Barrier Reef, and only four people are managing this company. And you see all these interconnected politicians and their partners managing companies, and you've seen companies being created in Kangaroo Island. This is in South Australia. And, you know, it's just a tin shed, but it seems to hold $500 million for some reason. And all this money is being shifted. And I always said to the others, and we were discussing this as well, how the smart money always shifts the money before an economic collapse. So that's been happening in the background. And people have been, on Twitter in particular, have been calling out the government, hang on, ReefGate, you know, NBN fail, all this money, cash for visas. You know, we've had, you know, ministers having lunch with well-known crime gang lord, you know, mafia heads of state and everything else. And it's been quite interesting. These people have been working, you know, day and night. So you're watching back and you're thinking, okay, something is up, okay? And the smart money is hiding their money. Now, when they start hiding their money, you have to ask, something's coming. And we're here today. Something has happened.
Yeah.
And it's called capital control. And what they're doing now is the cat's out of the bag. And you've got, and it's really unfortunate because one of the biggest victim here, the biggest victims are the mum and dads, the self-sufficient, the retirees, and the vulnerable. Interest rates have been falling for the last few years to next to nothing, which has forced vulnerable people and those who are self-retired into the stock market. As we can see, the stock market has just now crashed. So that's a lot of money that's gone.
Yep.
People that are self-sufficient have also divested in property. Their property has been going up. That's about to crash as well. But interestingly, laws have now are being touted here in Australia that renters don't have to pay rent. So landlords have to take a cut. Now, most of these people either have mortgages or they rely just solely on that rental money. They're not on a pension. They're not on any welfare. Well, they've just had their income slashed there as well. So where do they go? They go on the unemployment line or the pension line. Okay, which is just where everyone, well, people are saying, well, the government doesn't want that. Actually, the government doesn't mind controlling you and controlling the flow. Once they've got everyone in one area and you're not self-sufficient, you don't have a voice anymore.
Right.
So people are frightened. A lot of the activists that are part of our group have children that work for the government or that work in certain industries, and they don't want to publicly speak. That's another way of silencing you. So it's quite effective. What they've done is quite effective. But you look at the smart money, how they've moved. You've seen the stock market crash. You've seen the dollar in Australia completely decimated to 55 cents at the moment. You've seen crude oil collapse worldwide. This is not about you and I, Marty. This is about the top elite. There's a big war going on. We're suffering the consequences of it. And that's what you're seeing with Syria the Syrians being displaced. This is about a land grab. And the interesting thing is China was aware of this. This is why you were seeing in the last 2 years, and we've all seen this, China grabbing dairy farms, wheat belts, millions of acres. They knew this was coming. Okay, they've been buying up all the real estate in America. They've been buying up all the ports, and this is not a conspiracy against China. No, they were aware this is an economic war between two groups. You've got Russia, you've got China, you've got America. Australia's nothing in all of this. We're just going to wear it, really. Okay, but we've got resources here and resources that people want. So this is a war. This is an economic war. And they are now, and the media was showing this. Now, the media now have been distracted from all of this. And daily, they're talking about the virus. Okay? You've seen Bill Gates. Bill Gates has resigned from Microsoft. Isn't that interesting? Okay, he wants to work with his wife and they want to work on a foundation to save the world. The people creating this are now our saviours. Yep. Okay?
Yes.
So it's been quite an interesting this. Yes.
Yeah, the thing with him is, and I have said this, I will say it publicly, that man is a clear imprisoned danger to humanity. He needs to be rounded up, put away somewhere where he can't hurt people anymore. He is a devout eugenicist. He doesn't think anybody should be alive but him and his batty wife. But he just came out the other day and said, this is why we need digital security. This is why you need the chip, is so they know who's been vaccinated. Well, on that vaccination front, knowing what I do about vaccines, having talked with many scientists and doctors over these years, 15 of them studying vaccines, it takes a minimum of 9 months to develop a cell line, minimum. It takes another year once you get a successful cell line to actually bring it into production. And yet they're saying they have a vaccine almost ready to go. Say what? The only way you could do that is if you created what's out there and you already have the DNA, RNA, the whole genome that this virus represents because you created it. But my advice to everyone is not to take that vaccine. If this virus that they have set loose doesn't kill you, that vaccine will. And that what they will say as people drop over dead, oh, well, they must have had the virus and we didn't know it. I'm telling you, Chris, this is such a setup deal, and anybody that's been watching any of this for just the last year or two, you can see this is a plan in motion. And you are absolutely right. It is destroying the working everyday people. It is destroying their businesses. It is taking their homes. They're doing the same thing here, talking about, you know, you can't, people don't have to pay rent during this time, and they can't shut off the utilities. Let me tell you why they won't shut off the utilities. I found this out. We had a tornado here about 5 years ago, terrible, terrible tornado. And we had 138-mile-an-hour winds. It looked like 6 bombs went off in this little town, took houses off the foundation. It was just terrible. This thing hit about 4:30 in the afternoon with massive trees pulled up out of the ground, wreckage everywhere. The lights came back on at 11:30 that night. And I thought, wait a minute, how did you do this? And so I went to Homeland Security and was digging through stuff they had posted, and found where in a meeting they had talked about in the event of a national disaster that everything needed to be done to preserve the utilities. And especially if the electricity went out and people couldn't watch TV or use their phones, this could be disastrous because then they might come out of their houses and start talking to each other. And that could spell trouble. Everything we have seen in society over the last 30 years has been about occupying people with nonsense so you don't pay attention to what these people in government are doing, distracting you with all kinds of crap. And I'm seeing the same thing here. They're talking about you can't shut off the utilities if somebody can't pay their bill because then you might come out. So they came out with a thing here, Chris, that meetings, people no more than 10 people can get together and meet. Well, what's the difference between 10 and 50? You know, they're just coming shy of our right to freely assemble, see, that's guaranteed in the Constitution. So they said, oh, you have to limit it to 10. The reason is 10 people sit around and talk. 50 people will organize. And that's what they're trying to avoid. Just like I say, go back to this tornado we had. They didn't want people coming out of their houses and talking to each other, socializing, because they might start talking about what was going on. They might come up with plans. You know, they might organize. That's what this is all about. They're not
and
doing any favors.
And they've done that in Australia. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
They've done that in Australia. We do not have a Bill of Rights. We do not have a Bill of Rights in this country. And I think people need to look at Australia to realize how they can really control you here. The first thing they did, Marty, they stopped the flights out, in and out. Okay? That's the first capital control that they did. The second thing I noticed, they brought in all their social influencers. Tom Hanks has got the virus, and this celebrity's got the virus to instill fear, okay?
Yeah.
So we have that. Legally now, they have stopped more than 500 people gathering outdoor. We cannot protest, okay? Indoors, less than 100 people, okay? I have a close friend in the supermarket chain. They've stopped all the toilet paper, so they created a mass pandemic. We had people fighting over toilet paper and empty shelves. A lot of these shelves were not stocked up on time. Go to the little shops and have a look how quickly those shops go. I really recommend people buy from the little stores, the little shops out there, because they are stocked up. Okay, and it still keeps the cash going. And that's what we need to do. You have videos of people fighting. You have people on Bondi. They humiliated people at the beach. So they're socially pointing the finger at people. Now, some people disagree with all of them at the beach. Others wanted to go to the beach. That's not my argument. I won't go down there. However, that was social pointing, using the media to point at people, okay?
Yes.
To humiliate groups, to control them socially. Police in Victoria have been given extra powers to arrest people with the virus, to arrest congregating. We now in Victoria have what's called a virus squad. I don't know what this virus squad's going to do, okay, how they're going to find out who's got the virus or not. But, you know, this is actually happening in Australia. We have today in the Daily Mail, anyone who wants to log into the Daily Mail and have a look, shocking figures. Hospitals are saying they are 17 days away from being overwhelmed, and doctors have to decide, horrible decision, who gets treated, who lives and who dies. This is not a conspiracy.
Yes.
This is happening. This is in the paper today. So it is actually happening. We're looking at a 5% unemployment rate skyrocketing to 15%. Yesterday in the paper, we had dinner parties can cost you your life. Having a dinner party with friends is a crime now. But what's been really interesting, and I've been watching this, our parliament in this crisis is shut for 5 months. We are looking at economic Armageddon, and our federal parliament will not come back until August, Marty.
Yep.
So if it was that catastrophic, either they're all in hiding or they know this was planned and they're saying, well, it's going along as we expected, there's no stress there. If they're not stressed and they're prepared to close parliament for 5 months, you've got to ask yourself, I mean, I run a business with my husband. My husband believes in social distancing from me, Marty. He sees this as a positive. He said, this is great for husbands. I said, you keep going, buddy. You keep going. You can socially distance yourself for the next 20 years. You know, knock yourself out. But, you know, dinner parties. My husband looked at me, and my husband was saying to me, Chris, sometimes you can be a little bit extreme. He looked at me last night. He said, I agree with you 100%. I said, because it's hit your pocket now. That's why.
Yes.
Because now you see how it can affect our business. And this is what's happening to all the mum and dad businesses. They're starting to say, hang on a minute. We've got cafes, and this is what economic controls look like. So you've shut down all the borders so no one can move. So now you've got control of the people and you've got control. Now you need to get control of their spending patterns. Now, we're going to flush the economy with this quantitative easing, which means we're going to print money. But we want to redirect that spending. Now, we're off to the cafes and the restaurants and the churches and the sports venues and what we deem as non-essential. Okay, and we don't want them running into hospitals, and if they do, we're going to kill them. And we don't want them using public transport because we can't afford it anymore because we're bankrupt. Okay, and I have this shadow attorney general told me we're in one of the states, they're bankrupt. Okay, this is a fact. The states are bankrupt, so they're bankrupt. So they need to control the money. So what they've done is they've banned the cafes, restaurants and the churches and the sports venues and all the what they deem non-essential items. And they're giving out $500 a fortnight and they're allowing renters not to, you know, their rent. And businesses apparently can write off anything they want to write off under $150,000. And they'll be given money to keep workers on, which, you know, if you don't have any sales, that's not really going to help you much. And, you know, all these lovely feel-good sort of implement, you know, policies that they've got, and that's fine. But all that money, have a look at what's going to happen. The cafes and the restaurants and pubs are shut. It forces you into the white goods, into the what we call Coles and Woolies, and your Walmart equivalent. The church is shut. Well, there's no donations there, so people have more money to flow into spending for food. Sports venues, gyms are shut. Well, that's about congregating, so people are stuck at home, okay?
Uh-huh.
You've got everyone being stuck at home, and they're now going to spend in what we call in Australia the white goods stores, which were suffering. Now, what they're going to do as well is, and people need to keep an eye on this, shopping centres, there's too many inconsistencies here, Marty. The shopping centres are not shut. Okay? They're not shutting the big shops down. See, this virus seems to discriminate. They like shopping centres. They're going to keep away from them, okay? Because, you know, the hairdressers are not being shut. They're all in shopping centres. That's touching people. Nail shops, fixing your nails. That's not going to be shut. That's not shut. Skincare, that hasn't been shut. I went yesterday and got a massage on my neck. Now, that's touching, okay? That hasn't been shut. They have just shut down any place where people can meet and discuss and congregate. And the next thing they're going to target after that, social media.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Because they want to control what we say.
We have a special law here which is totally unconstitutional. It's called the NEA. And it allows the president, if he declares an emergency, to seize people's bank accounts, to shut down all radio broadcasting, which I anticipate before this is over, we will be shut down. Because on that note, the reason is, with all of this alternative radio like this one, we have reduced mainstream media's audience to about 10% of what it was 10 years ago, and it's probably far lower than that. Few people tune into it. You remember when Trump first got elected, it was fake news. Everything was fake news. If you didn't go along with Trump, it was fake news. And that backfired on him because the fake news was coming out of mainstream media. And so people started pointing the finger at them. You know, you're the one purveying fake news. And the alternative radio stations boomed. Not that they weren't already, but, I mean, they really took a leap forward. And because there is better reporting, more factual information on alternative stations than you will ever get in a year from mainstream media. And so they're upset about that, but what they're going to do is take us all off air, and even your local radio station, so nobody can get on there and say anything that contradicts the BS coming out of D.C. And, that is exactly what's going to happen. Exactly what's going to happen.
That's right. That's right. It's an economic shakedown. It's an economic war. And what they've done, and they're smart, and they're not silly, They will not stop pensioners and they will not stop the money because that will cause a mass riot. That was the first thing that they covered. They want people, they've lulled them into, oh, look, we've got a plan B, we're okay. Stop those pensions. Stop that money. Stop the unemployment benefits. You're not going to see that. They're not silly. They're not going to do that. What they're doing is the middle class are being shaken, okay? There's going to be a bigger divide between the haves and the have-nots. Self-sufficient businesses, cash businesses, pubs, all of those businesses, they're gone. You're seeing a rash of new laws. Look at the new laws. Now, even in Denmark, they try to push in a law that allows the police to enter based on a suspicion. That law already exists in South Australia and will be rolled out nationwide. So based on a suspicion, they can enter your home. How scary is that? And we've got the virus squad here in Victoria as well, which is, look, I just couldn't stop laughing. This is all about stopping protests, but fleecing you behind the scenes, okay? They are pushing towards the cashless society wasn't working. They thought with online they will get that, but it hasn't been the big boom that they expected. Online is great for people that, you know, need that, but there's still the cash is still out there. This has now shaken the cash businesses. Notice they're focused on the cash businesses and they will only allow you to operate online. So we were being pushed to a direction quicker than we expected, okay? They're limiting the gatherings, and that was the first thing that they've done, and flying out, so you're stuck. And it's easy to control people and pick them off one by one. We've seen that in guardianship. One by one is very effective. And yes. Guardianship, I mean, we're talking about people who for three decades have been, and we all know this, have been picking people, vulnerable people off in the millions. And there's never been a mass riot. Worldwide, we're talking about millions. There's never been a mass riot or the government's having a meeting concerned about the vulnerable being stripped financially and physically, okay? But a virus that has a 1% chance of killing you if you're over 80, and in Italy in particular, most people, and I have family over there, so I know what's going on. They're going into hospitals and they're coming out dead and they've been told this story. Now, we have to be aware the death certificates, okay, will be Ebola or will be Corona or will be whatever they want it to be. Is it the truth? Well, who's auditing these figures? Who's checking? Who's in charge of checking all of this, Marty? And that's what you've got. So we've got a control on cash. We've got this cashless society being pushed. Whether it's a chip or not, I don't know, but it's going to be something, okay? We've got this online push to buy online. We've got gatherings that are now being controlled, okay? This is not a conspiracy theory. This is happening today. You know, turn on the radio, open the newspaper. It's in front of you. It's not a conspiracy. Yes. This is a fact. And we've had a few people coming on our site and saying, oh, conspiracy, rubbish, da-da-da. No, we report what's in the general media, okay? We report what's in the general media. We have our opinions, of course, but we report what we see with reason and with logic. And logic is telling you there's a big shift in your spending patterns. And it is going towards cashless and it is going towards more control. This is not about freedom. Jump on a plane.
I'm online on your system now if you do want to contact me.
Sorry. Is it? There's a bit of feedback there. Sorry, Marty.
Yes. Well, somebody queued up there I thought was coming on with
that's
us,
okay.
But apparently. Yeah, go ahead.
That's okay. I can no longer jump on a plane now, Marty, and come and visit you as we were planning to do. Okay, I can't do that. We're stuck in Australia for 6 months. Now, when you cannot fly, when you have been made immobile, you really have to think about what's next. And it's not to scare people. Don't fear this. Plan. Plan for the worst and say, okay, what's the worst that can happen in my life? Everyone has a different circumstance. What's the worst that can happen in my life and how do I plan for it? This is a time for reflection. This is a time to plan and this is a time to wake up. I believe there's an awakening. I think people have been jolted a little bit out of this and have started to see. But I think also they've put in their, you know, the barriers to stop us protest. They can shoot to kill in Australia now. If we protest outside Parliament, they can shoot to kill. That's legal. They can do it.
Oh, wow.
That's the reality of our life, yes. And Australia, people have to understand, Australia is not like America. We don't have guns. We don't have access to weaponry. We don't have a Bill of Rights. It's easier. It's easier to control us. It's easier to do this. In America, you still have some liberties, which they're trying to kill off. It takes a bit longer, but they're trying to get rid of all of that. But in Australia, no. In Australia, we need a Bill of Rights. We need protection when we're fighting. And look, the reality is we're in a bit of trouble at the moment here. And that is the reality. People fear their jobs. People fear they need to put food on the table for their families. People are buying chickens now. There's been a mass. There's a chicken farm just down the road, and people are buying all the hens, and which is good because you know they need eggs. But you know people need to survive, and people are starting to think like that. People are making bread for the first time. Women I know are making bread, homemade bread. Good, that's great. We need to have some independence because anything can happen. Anything can, and history has shown it does happen.
Yep. Well, you know, and here, Chris, we're seeing the same thing. You mentioned the Bill of Rights. There's little of that left. They have been attacking that nonstop, especially since 9/11, which nobody you meet believes the story the government put out about that. And this was, and I firmly believe this was an inside job, and it was meant to start this process. The Patriot Act came out within 3 days of that attack. Over 400 pages. Every time terrorism or terrorist was mentioned in there, it was a direct volley on the Constitution. And so it's just, you know, they've been coming after it. They've been trying to disarm us steadily. They started in earnest under the Obama administration with the Small Arms Global Treaty through the UN. And the deal there was Hillary Clinton was going to go to the UN, sign the treaty, which she has no authority to do, bring it back to Obama. He was going to sign it and put it into law. But see, we have a thing here. No treaty is recognized unless 3/5 of the Congress or the Senate ratifies it. Well, they never took it to the Senate. So that was null and void on its face. But they have tried to come up with everything to confiscate guns. And people are fighting back. You come after people's guns over here, it's a war. And they've tried that to get a civil revolt going. They have tried all sorts of things. In all of this, the run-up to this, we have seen bills come out in various states that if you go into the hospital, you lose any right to make your own medical decisions. They are incrementally taking everything away from us. Our rights to self-autonomy, self-decision-making. You are absolutely right about, you know, they're destroying the people at the bottom, the cash business. I've seen all kinds of stuff coming out about how cash money is dirty. It could carry the virus, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, get over it. And, you know, and the thing is, our money is worth nothing. Federal Reserve's notes are a debtor's note. And when they talk, they're doing quantitative easing here to QE5. Which is nothing other than the Federal Reserve printing pallets full of worthless bills and dumping it into the economy. That's all it is.
That's right.
And you don't have any more money. You have more debtor's notes. Every one of our dollars is worth minus 18 cents. 18 cents in interest that we owe the Federal Reserve for carrying that dollar in our pocket. So, you know, I mean, when you understand the mechanics of all of this, how this has all been set up, but they're locking the states down here too, got the military on the streets, and Trump has called them out in New York and Maryland, and there was another state today they brought them out in. But life as we know it here is going to change. And while so many people sat back, sat back and poo-pooed us over this guardianship thing and what they were doing to the elderly. Watch this get ramped up into high gear. This killing of these people, refusing to treat them medically or deciding that their life is not worth saving. Somebody else's is. How do you put more value on one person's life than another?
They're going to force them.
Yes, and
because what's going to happen is we're going to go to hospital. But when you restrict resources, people, fear moves mountains, okay? And if you look at, say, when I look at the stock market, now if you look at the stock market, you know, incrementally it rises very slowly, but fear drops like an elevator, okay?
Yeah.
And when you're frightened, and when you're scared, and you're being told that resources are limited, okay, you know, mum and dad and pop have had a good life. It's time for you kids, and they've been raising that discussion up for a long time, haven't they? You actually start to believe it's time. Look, I've got to, you know, it's a bit like that movie Alive where the plane crashes and everyone starts eating them. You know, they're looking at the other person ready to eat them. It's a bit like that.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to force, and we need to be very aware of this. We have plenty of resources on this earth. This is just a lie. Look around you. We have land. We have plenty of resources. They are putting us into these little boxes called our homes and are telling us that we can't survive. We have plenty of food. Okay, it's just that it's being controlled. They're not going to give it to you. So these empty shelves, this is all a theatre. These empty shelves, this food that's being limited, it's forcing us to rethink our lives. They're forcing that onto us. Okay, and in the end, when they say we have to kill your mother, we have to kill your father, because you know they're over 80 and they do have the coronavirus. Watch this space. The deaths in aged care, they have restricted visitation rights in aged care or hospice. You'll see a spike of people saying, look, this particular centre, you know, there was an outbreak of the coronavirus and 90% died. How would we know? How would you and I know? There are better ways. This could have been handled far more smartly, Marty. They could have said, look, we have a virus at the moment. All the schools, all the businesses must install hand sanitizers. They must wipe down, you know, little simple things that will control the virus. If you're sick, if you're not well, stay at home, please. If you're tested with the flu, please stay at home for 1 or 2 weeks. You know, enforce measures like that. You don't have to shut a pub. You don't have to shut down cash businesses. You don't have to shut down gyms, yet leave other businesses in shopping centres open. Why doesn't the virus attack shopping centres? It must be a very, very exclusive virus.
I'll tell you why, because
Marty?
People have to... Yes.
Hello, Marty.
Yes.
Chris from Australia. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. Sorry, I was on the line, but I wasn't sure whether you could hear me there. So good evening to everybody. It's not black and white, and I agree with some government decisions being made, but also disagree with many of them. That said, more at a micro level, the elderly and those with medical conditions causing higher risk are being placed through guardianship in mortal danger, and they were being placed there before the COVID-19 virus. The problem we have, as I see it, is that people have been forced into aged care facilities, often against the wishes, their own wishes and their own family's wishes, and they've been placed in areas of high risk compared with their homes and protection of their families. The government here is not doing enough to protect those people in those aged care facilities. And we've had recent experiences in one of our states where an elderly person in aged care, guardianship was taken over her again from families that were caring and loving, and then she was put into a system where under Palliative Care Act, the statute under that legislation, she was able to be starved to death against her wishes and her religious beliefs. What concerns me is that some low-lives, alleged humans, will exploit any opportunity if they can gain from it, no matter what the cost is to others. And contrary to the rhetoric, the Australian government guardianship predators are saying, like the COVID-19 virus, they disregard human well-being and life. And Chris said a moment ago is true. There's going to be a lot of deaths in aged care facilities blamed on COVID-19, whether it was or wasn't, no one will ever
guess
for. The situation is that this woman in South Australia, for 4 weeks, and I'll read out what she posted, a family member posted, in regard to another victim's going through a similar plight. I've just been through a nightmare similar to this with my own mother. Sadly, she passed away on the 25th of February after months of legal battles with SACAP, which is a tribunal in South Australia, costing thousands of dollars, and in the end, she was denied her religious belief and wishes of being fed and wanting and watered to the end, and died of starvation over an agonising 5 weeks. And it's very small. I can hardly read. Sorry. Denied for 2 weeks of liquids, etc., in the hands of an OPA, which is an Office of Public Advocate, which is a public guardian here in Australia, who refused to acknowledge her wishes. Then she put, "We are heartbroken, devastated and traumatised as we sat and watched this horror unfold, helpless to intervene in what was in what those responsible held accountable." So that was what she said. "We stand beside you to the end, and this inhumane treatment of the aged, it continues. This is what this is causing. It's causing pain and suffering, not only by the victims but the families, particularly those where the governments have used this guardianship and administration system, and I call it Administration Australia because in Australia we just don't call it guardians. It's split into two areas. There's guardianship and there's administration. That's currently the case. They're starting to merge a bit like America. But the system is one that the guardianship controls the person, where the person lives, and their health decision-making. The COVID-19 allows that health decision-making under these acts to remove people's life before the COVID-19 this allowed this to happen. The COVID-19 allows a new excuse where elderly people will be killed. And the government that initiated and facilitated this, their act, their Palliative Care Act, stipulates that they can withdraw life support including sustenance from a person. Yet their criminal act says that that's both a criminal neglect and murder. So we have a situation where this virus could cause havoc both in aged care facilities and in homes, because these low lives will take advantage of it. And it's a real worry.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, see, they're doing the same thing here. And I don't know how it got implemented in Australia, but here under Obamacare, they infused hospice with an $11.5 billion gift to change from Good Samaritan to the Grim Reaper. At the same time, they redefined food and water as medical treatment, not as a human necessity or right. And so this is how they get away with murdering people in this way. This is murder. I don't care how you cushion it or what kind of soft euphemistic terms you try to use to describe it. It is murder, plain and simple. And when you deny someone, especially water, within 4 days they start to hallucinate. It causes the internal organs to be stressed, which is painful. That's when they come in and load them up under palliative care, which is actually stealth euthanasia, and they start loading them up with psychotropic drugs and leaving them in a state until the drugs finally shut down their lungs and their body finally succumbs to what's done to them. But I'm sure it's the same way there. They have redefined this. Food and water is no longer our right. Now, I firmly believe under current circumstances, we are going to see food and water declared commodities that we do not have a right to. They'll be redefined as something else, but not as a right as human beings that we have. We are in the grip of the hands of monsters, and this is the way I look at this. This is totally the way I look at this. All those monsters from our nightmares are actually come to life. Go ahead.
And some of those monsters are your government, the elected representatives, are turning a blind eye, willful neglect and willful blindness. And they're allowing this to happen through their tribunals, their public guardians, public trustees here in Australia. And those officers are protected under their Attorney General's department from wrongdoing. There's no transparency under statute, nor accountability available for people that try to challenge it. Our website raises, the ASCAR website raises people's experiences. And one of the things that's said on the website is that discretion has no place where conflicts of interest exist, and its abuse must be criminalised. It is merely an excuse and means to bypass accountability. What we're asking for is that criminal acts be recognised when they're occurring and prosecuted, no matter who the offender is. And while the solutions don't seem easy to find, that what is being suggested is that the tribunals here that operate under statute no longer make decisions on people's lives and well-being in the guardianship and administration area, and that the public trustees, the administrators, where all this leads, this whole thing is to do with money. And if you look at the conflicts of interest, the conflict of interest in Australia is that they have a system in place that, from a financial or business model, is far better than the American one, because the American one is private sector taking a lot of this money. Here, it's the government taking the money, and the government protects itself, and there's nowhere for anybody to go. And if there's a tribunal is a sister office of the public trustee or guardian and is making decisions which are detrimental to the health or well-being of that person or their financial situation to another office, that's a conflict of interest. So to break the chain in the system, you have to remove where the money goes. So that means you take away the public trustees out of the system. You get rid of them. And other than cases where someone has no money and they need protection or whatever for their management of their assets, of the income that they're getting in, you get rid of that, and then the tribunals have no conflict of interest in putting it into the government hands, and then maybe the family or some other avenues such as accountants or bookkeepers can do some of the supportive decision-making that people need rather than the substitute decision-making that the government initiates. And Christine would be the best one to explain all those at different areas, but to me, there's things that have to be done, and this COVID-19 is a real worry in the fact of how it can be misused, and because there's other predators out there that are not just the virus, and a lot of people will die, and as Christine says, death certificate says the underlying illness the person had, whether it's dementia, or cancer. It doesn't say, like in the case of South Australia, I think it's still in the pipeline, the death certificate coming out, but it's unlikely to say that the person died of 40 days a denial of sustenance and 14 days denial of fluids,
yes,
which caused organ failure and death.
Yep.
It's unlikely to say that, but that's
right.
The truth of it. And that then brings this negligence, because that person was a protected person under legislation, and it was the protectors that were allowing it to happen.
Right. Well, and the thing is, they aren't the protectors. These are the predators. And,
yes,
you know, that why you would take on something of this nature and tie yourself to it and do it numerous times. I think these people who do this, and I've said this here many times, we need to guardianize the guardians. They're not fit for society. They shouldn't be running loose in the population. These are predators. They prey on other human beings.
Well, the system in Australia with the guardians, as I said, that's health and accommodation. They can't charge for that service, the public trustee or the public guardians. They don't charge for that service. So for that to occur, it normally gets left with the family member. But they've worked out in Australia that the public trustees, the ones that take over the administration, the assets and the finances of the person, if the person is living in their own home, they can't get hold of that asset unless they get them to be forced into aged care. And that's where the role of the guardian comes in, to allow that to happen. So while it's not a cost advantage to have someone under guardianship as well as public trustee administration, it does, if the case needs to be moved, the person needs to be forced out of their home so that assets are then available to be exploited. So it's and what they're doing in some of the states is starting to combine these, and it'll be like the American system where one person will be making both health and accommodation and financial decisions. And that will cause even a more streamlined effect.
Right. Well, I don't know. This is no coincidence. I don't believe this virus flew around the world all on its own. It showed up here in the States, first in the state of Washington. They don't know how it got there. Then it showed up in Wisconsin. Then it showed up in Washington, D.C., and I believe it was in Texas, and I believe it was Houston. And now here where I live, and I live in a rural area with miles and miles and miles of farmland, somehow it showed up just north of me. They supposedly have 138 cases. Part of this is that they say they're testing people, but if you have ever had a cold or bronchitis or pneumonia before, you already have those antibodies in you, so you're going to test positive whether you have this virus or you don't. And this is the common cold, but it has been spliced with other things. But I think the major focus on this is I think you're going to see a large number of people in these nursing homes gone. I truly think that's going to happen. The governments of the world have been desperate to shed and get rid of the elderly because they're not taxable any longer. They aren't producing anything that they can get their hands on, so they see them as dead weight. And now, of course, with so many elderly people, they're coming around for their Social Security. And, you know, as we've talked about many times, Social Security is not an entitlement program. It is not welfare. We contribute to this mightily across our working lifetime. And so it's an insurance. This is what it was, old age insurance, to make sure that, like from back in the Depression, when so many elderly people passed because they had no way to take care of themselves, and, of course, there were no jobs, and, you know, we're about on the verge of that now. But the Social Security was established to make sure that never happened again, and it is worker-funded. The government does not fund Social Security. Workers fund Social Security. So you have put a big dent now in Social Security of incoming funds by closing down all of these businesses. Now, eventually, they're going to get around to cutting this off or seriously limiting it, which they've been trying to do here under the Republicans for many years. They don't like the idea. They keep trying to refer to it as welfare. And this is one of the things, Doug, when I talk to people about the guardianship system, what I tell them is that when they are robbed of their estates, when they're locked away in these warehouses called nursing homes, robbed of their assets and their whole estate and their land and their home and everything else, you know, you've left them in the same place that these people were back in the Great Depression. The difference is now these people who formerly were in a position financially to take care of themselves have been thrown onto public welfare because there's no other option, because you've got to pay the nursing home. And now we have a law here that says that people in nursing homes can be put out the door if they can't pay their bill. Now, again, where are these stinking churches? You know, where are these churches?
If you look at it from a cattle perspective, with the way they look at a lot of elderly people as cattle or racehorses that no use anymore, they've herded them all together into aged care facilities, often against their wishes, and offers when they would have been better protected in their family home with family supporting them.
Yes.
So they've herded them all into there, and what we asked in a video just recently was how many people have to die from COVID-19 before they'll start testing visitors, staff, and residents in the aged care facility for COVID-19. They can do temperature tests. They can reduce the numbers. Even if it gets in there, they can reduce the numbers by knowing what's happening, who has got some sort of symptoms. And that's where it got away from the government in a lot of places. They didn't do enough testing. Now, I know blood tests are too slow. They've got the swabs, which are slow, 48 hours or something like that. But there is a means to test the basic temperature of a person to start with and look for symptoms. They've got nurses available or whatever. They should be monitoring these people. Government and family have put people into aged care. They need to protect those people. That's not happening, and that should have been in everywhere else in society. The vulnerable and the most affected are the ones that people assume should be most protected. If you leave a child in a hot car, you get prosecuted for doing that. But they can put our elderly people or people with disability, with health problems, into one big facility, and then they don't protect them. What is the difference?
Yes, exactly. I don't know, Doug. This, we know they're trying to call us.
It's Chris,
you know,
not Doug.
I'm sorry. I was reading a message here. I'm sorry. Chris, sorry. I am truly sorry. But, whew, and away she goes. But it's just...
they'll come and get you.
All of this. Yeah. Oh, no. This is a dangerous time for all of us, but most particularly anyone over 60. This is a dangerous time. They were already after people that were past the age of 60, trying to figure out how to get rid of them. Hospice, aged care, all of this, medical kidnap. This was too slow, although here in the States they're taking about 250,000 people out a year through these methods. The nursing homes, you know, they die in the nursing home of abuse and neglect and getting beat up and God knows what else. But it was too slow. They couldn't get rid of this group of people fast enough. But this virus is going to do the trick, and I think you're absolutely right. They're going to let these people in there. They're going to let them die, and they're going to claim it was the virus. But I will seriously question, how they died, whether it was from the virus or if they were intentionally euthanized. because this is what they've wanted all along. We have laws here that in two states that I know of where it's now legal to starve those with dementia and or mental disabilities to death because we don't want to take care of them. So, you know, where does that leave us? You know, it's just it's a bizarre thing that's going on. And, you know, the idea that the public is sitting there watching this happen, and you keep bringing the information to them going, they did this, this, and this. This is happening every day. They're killing mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, whomever it is. They're killing them.
Yeah, but nobody, the surveys never include government abuse or government neglect or government violations of the law. The surveys only look at what the government wants the survey to look at.
Yeah.
And I personally believe the cause of over 50% of abuse and neglect and whatever of the vulnerable and the disabled is directly and indirectly caused by governments. So,
yeah.
But you never see, you know, I said to, there's a Royal Commission happening here in the disability, and I raised the question to one of the commissioners, have you ever seen a survey that included government office on elder abuse? And because the surveys never include that. They don't include
right.
government officers. They want it to be the family members, because then it allows them to take control of the person under the government
yes.
reign and then abuse them, exploit them, and in some cases, put them at risk or cause their death. And I think that's where the problem is. It's, you don't hear, and in Australia, we're blocked from talking about a lot of things, and there's aspects that we can't even raise to a Royal Commission without
right.
breaching the law. So it's getting ridiculous.
Yeah, we have here where I live, we have at least three bills coming out. We've raised so much hell here about the guardianship issue. And one of our provisions in our state constitution is ending probate courts, specifically to end probate courts. And I've brought this up to legislators. What, get rid of these courts. They should have never existed to begin with. This is not a court of law. This is a tribunal. They don't follow the law. And if you're going to take somebody's life away from them, which basically is what guardianship does, do it in a civil court. Bring your evidence. But, oh, they can't do it. But these bills are coming out. Now, one of the things that they do constantly that they're not, and I maintain that we should be able to go back and sue these attorneys that sold us, claimed they were an expert, and sold us estate plans on how to avoid conservatorship or guardianship, to have those papers thrown aside by a probate examiner and say, well, I think, you know, what we need to do is discard these and hand it over to the guardian. I think that would be a better deal. They are writing it into the laws that they can break mm-hmm. into wills and trusts, which they're not supposed to be. They've been doing it, but they've been doing it illegally. So we'll codify it into law. The other one is they can now, on trust or wills or insurance policies, remove beneficiaries and replace them with beneficiaries of their choosing. And they can even name themselves. So, you know, I mean, you look at this, and what they're doing is they're rewriting the laws. We have two big fiduciary corporations up here that are operating. The one is operating across three states that can go into the legislature and get all the time they want. But as a citizen, I go into the legislature, I get 3 to 5 minutes. But these people that orchestrate this, but they've got their hooks so far into our politicians, you know, they get anything they want. Everything we've come after them about, they go to the legislature and say, you know, we need you to put this into a law so they can't sue us anymore. Nobody should be able to violate your personal papers. No one, for any reason, should be able to violate. Go ahead.
You would appreciate that when one of the latest tribunals was created in a state, the argument for the tribunal, which doesn't act under the rules of courts or consider evidence,
right,
etc. The argument for that tribunal was that the members could act more fairly to protect people.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is the biggest, anyone that's been in a tribunal would have to question, where's the evidence that that's ever going to happen? So, as I said in the early stage, one thing at a meeting I raised at one of the ASCAR public meetings that I had experienced two episodes in a tribunal where they were fair and reasonable in what they did. They and everybody glared at me for saying that, but it was true. But then I said, I've had 30 something other tribunals hearings that I've been in, and they were terrible. They were horrible, corrupt. They already determined what the outcome was before you even walked in. And I said the one thing that was different between the two that were reasonable and the others was that the two that were reasonable were in a state where there was no conflict of interest. And that's why my argument is to get rid of the conflict of interest with governments, and then you may get a fairer hearing. I'm not saying you will, but while there is this situation, and you're right, the once it's the government, if US follows Australia and has basically the government take over from the private guardians, then you're actually in a worse situation than you were before, because you've got nowhere to go. And in 2010 here in Australia, the federal government said to the states, as part of a funding arrangement, that they wanted the private trustee companies, which is like the guardian things, but to do with finances, they wanted those to be put under the Federal Act. Now, they also said you can put your public trustees under there as well. Well, the states didn't want that part, but they allowed the other to occur. And what happened at that period was that the private trustee companies were forced under the federal legislation, which was stronger than the state and territory legislations. It also had oversee by ASIC, which is a financial regulator, which at the moment the states have no, you can't go to anywhere like a financial regulator. The states' public trustees use their state's financial license to do their work, so you can't get that removed. So when this happened, the states all kicked up about the public trustees being put under it, so that didn't happen. All the little guardianship type, the trustees, the private sector trustees, disbanded. Some of those merged with other companies and whatever, but the majority were allowed to put their clients into the public trustee system to save the paperwork of having to go through all this process. So they created the others as companies, and then the companies are then under ASIC, which is the regulator. So in Australia, we had that option. It should have been that the public trustees were also forced under the federal legislation, which, if it was, there would be less conflicts of interest, because at least people could go somewhere if they had a problem. At the moment, you have to go to the abuser and ask them to prosecute themselves. That's basically where you have to go, and it just doesn't happen. And as you know, self-review never works.
Right.
So,
are you there?
So really, in some respects, you've got it better than Australia, I believe. I know you've got these predators out there, but when it's the whole government that is the predator, then you've really got nowhere to go. At least, you can try with some of these people, but as I said, it's terrible here.
Yeah, it is here too. Chris, what were you... you had some thoughts you wanted to add to things here before we've got about 10 minutes left. You wanted to talk about the economy a little bit. What can you give us?
Well, Well, I agree with Chris. Chris and I agree and disagree on certain areas, but in general we agree mainly that Australia is far worse, we believe, than America, in the sense that our governments have turned on us. You do have predators. You have these private predators, these private guardians in America, and there seems to be complicity from what we can see. But in Australia, it's far worse, because I'm speaking to people every day, seeing 74-year-old ladies fighting for lawyers. That was a recent case in Queensland, fighting for lawyers against her. And that's what we were witnessing. And that was really, 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 you know, really terrible to watch. What we're seeing also is, an economic downturn, and people need to plan for that. And what they need to plan for, is to protect themselves and to factor in the worst case scenario for their respective lives, So if you've got a house and you have a mortgage, look at the worst scenario that can happen to you. If you don't have a mortgage, say to yourself, okay, what can I do to protect myself in these times? Now, the good thing that we have is we do have people who will be on welfare. Their benefits will not stop. That's not happening, because that would cause a mass riot. They're not going to do that. So there will be some money there to protect you. They don't want riots in the street. They don't want yellow vestas. They don't want Hong Kong in Australia. So we have that on our side. But what people do need to plan for is for that food on the table. There's a lot of gardens out there, and there'll be a lot of homes out there, but there won't be food out there, okay? You need to go back to basics. People need to go back to some basics. We're not talking going back to the 18th century. We're talking about the basics of staples. Let's say electricity does... I agree with you, Marty. I don't think the energy will stop, the electricity or anything like that will stop. I do think that will keep going. But we need to have a backup plan. Say it does for a few days. Like I said to my husband, everyone has been stocking up on frozen vegetables and frozen meats, and they've been buying fridges and everything else. And I said, if I was the government and I wanted to re-kick spending, I'd just turn off the generators for a few days.
Yes.
There goes all their food.
Yes.
And then they'll have
yes.
to buy it again. See how it works? So you've got to sort of think outside the box with these people, because we are dealing with very devious people. I just got
yes.
a message as I was on hold. One of our members lost $100,000 in the stock market. Now, this is a retiree, self-retiree, $100,000. They've done that to every family. The stock market has decimated accounts. So people may
yep.
have to rethink. If they've got no money, they have to rely on the government. If they've still got a bit of money, okay, be very careful where you put that money and what you do. Have some cash on you. Have some staples with you, okay? Have your first aid, you know, just as a backup. Don't panic. Just, you know, have everything ready. Think of the worst case scenario in your life, what's the worst
mm-hmm.
that can happen, and then plan for it. You don't have to panic.
Yes.
Okay, they want you to panic. They want you to,
yes.
you know, panic and start belting up people over toilet paper. No, don't do that, okay? Just
yes.
think of the worst case scenario. We're not going to start. We're all in this together. But one thing that we have to focus on, we have to start keeping a list of names. Who did this? Who actually did this to us? Because
yes.
they shouldn't walk away and turn around and say, oh, it wasn't us, it was the virus. No, the virus
yes.
is the catalyst. This has been
yes.
planned. Okay, if it wasn't the
yes.
virus, it would have been something else. So what people need to do is look at their own personal finances, look at their own personal life and say, okay, how do I plan for this? What's the worst? Have water available, filters available, okay? You never know. I know it sounds bizarre, but water is the key. In an economic
yes.
downturn, it's not your degree. You could have a PhD in physics and you could have, you know, everything. You could have 10 houses. If no one's paying the rent, okay, if no one's paying your mortgage, you're in trouble. You can have the best degree. Yeah. Degrees won't help you. And it's really, really interesting how farmers have always been demonized and attacked and vilified as simpletons, which is absolutely disgusting.
Yep.
Because I grew up on a farm. Farmers are the ones that always survive economic holocausts.
Yeah.
Okay? Farmers are the ones that can provide food. We need to respect those who grow our food, who look after us and feed us. And that's very, very important. And in Australia, we've had these horrible bushfires that have decimated farms and everything else. And these little shops and these little pubs have now been forced to shut. And it's been horrible to see how our farmers are now being treated as second-class citizens. They have had a double whammy. They've not only had their businesses now decimated, but they've had their farms and their stock all being, and the drought and everything else. It's been horrible, and they have not been looked after by our governments. And now our governments are turning on us. And in hospitals and in aged care, like Chris said, we are really worried because there will be, people will die. People will die from viruses, yes. People have always died from the flu. People have always died from these illnesses. But are we, how are we going to know whether it's the illness or not a kill shot? How are we going to know that, Mother?
Yes, there you go. Exactly.
How are we going to know? How are we going to know? We're going to be told, oh, we've already, look at the papers. Doctors are deciding who lives and dies. Then they're telling us. They're telling us.
Yes.
Okay, look at Therese. Therese, lovely woman, I met her. Her mother was murdered in front of her. I call it a murder. I call it a murder,
is.
And I have that right to do it, because she was denied access to her mother. She didn't know what was happening. The Doreen as well, in South Australia, 41 days. That wasn't palliative care. Denied 41 days of nutrition and fluids. How many of those are we not seeing?
Yes.
How many of these practices are being undertaken now in hospice and aged care facilities, and will be called a coronavirus death on a death certificate? There's no one auditing these figures.
No, and they can do whatever they want to do. We've got about 3 minutes left here, Chris. We all need to be on alert. And as far as food, summer's coming on here. Plant a garden if you have yard space. Don't depend on the store. Plant a garden. It's not hard. Dig up the ground, poke a seed in it, water it, it'll grow. But start being self-sufficient. And if this doesn't do anything else, it will start making people self-sufficient again, especially when you realize the government is not there to help you. They're the ones trying to take you out. We're down to about 2 minutes. Chris, I want to thank you for coming on. Other Chris, too. Your bird was making a lot of racket there, so I temporarily muted you up. Thank you for coming on also. We're all in this together, whether we're in Australia, the USA, wherever you're at. We are all in this together, and we've got to stick together, get some spine, stand up, don't be a willy-nilly. What was it Roosevelt said? You have nothing to fear but fear itself? Or who was it? Churchill said that. Yeah. And this is what you have to be afraid of. Try to eat as healthy as you can. Leave the alcohol alone. It's very detrimental, even in good times. Fast food, you don't want to be eating that at this time. Try to eat as healthy as you can. And, you know, just take precautions. Make sure, you know, a little extra cleaning, washing your hands, if they think that'll help, do that. Liposomal vitamin C, China found out, works like a rocket to knock this stuff out. But, of course, the CDC here said, oh, that's just a myth. It doesn't work. Well, they know that it does. Oil of oregano kills viruses. So, I mean, there's other things you can do. Medications will cause you irreparable harm. So I don't,
and
I,
shop
myself,
locally.
I don't.
And shop locally.
Yeah.
Shop locally. Shop, look at the little stores, the mum and dad stores.
Yep.
Show them that our spending, we're still supporting the small shop stores. Don't go through those self-serving machines. go to a cashier, wait in line for 5 minutes.
Yes.
If you have to go into the big stores, but look at the small stores, the butchers, the
yep.
fishmongers, the delicatessens,
yep.
the small
yes.
stores, that's where the power is. That's that
yes.
small little step towards disempowering
yep.
the big boys.
There you go. We're about out of time here. Thanks so much for coming on tonight, both of you.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it, and let's keep working on this together. And talking
yep.
so that they can understand we are working together. We're not isolated as much as they've tried to isolate us, but I fully anticipate
mm-hmm.
them shutting down alternative radio because there's too much information coming out on it. But we will be back again Thursday night, and I might do some things the next couple of nights. I haven't decided yet, but we'll be back Thursday night, USDA. Everybody, thank you for tuning in, and have a good night.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.